Chapter 77. LP and his friends were still having a moment of jubilation at the discovery that someone might have been able to crack the code when it came to interspecies communication. Like all discoveries, however, the focus starts with the wonder, but typically ends with the worry. LP was the first to throw water on the fireworks. "Let's reframe all the details we have so far," he said, as he stood and wrote notes on the whiteboard behind them. Animal songs, animal communication, embedded code that transmits when certain songs are played, whales sending us messages, the ESB frying our communications, the recording studio protecting what we've managed to save. "What have I missed?" he asked the group. "Your activist slash archivist lover has built the world's most powerful artificial intelligence and hasn't gone to the public for a cent of donations or participation in its growth," Atman said stoically. "Weird stories about certain global elites being gutted with no record of who's behind the murders," Faith added as she scanned through her social media feeds. "There's a new story about Angela Shinigami that has an immense amount of weird all over it." "Who's she?" LP asked. "She's only the leader of one of the world's largest pharmaceutical supply companies and a member of the Plutonian Council. You know, the shop that your girlfriend works for. Shinigami basically got medals during and after the pandemic. Now she's been exposed as being a major pervert and criminal. Sex trafficking, humans doing really shitty things to each other," Faith responded, almost using a monotone to her voice, as if it was a typical laundry list for the world's elite and their waves of secrets. "There are reports that she was basically attacked by millions of insects when she was visiting her retreat or resort, or whatever the rich folks call it these days." "Good Lord," Atman said, shaking his head. "I had heard about her a long time ago, but had no idea what an evil person she was." "And omnibioacoustics isn't a real word," Dion teased, not forgetting about the list of odd circumstances that were swirling around them. "Yes, it is," Case shot back. "And someone, probably your friend Sylvie, has taught whales to speak to us. But at the same time, they've denied scientists and other interested parties the knowledge of this massive moment in history for some unknown reason." "And animal songs probably aren't the only way that this stuff is being communicated," LP finished. "For a weird little glitch, this has evolved into quite the situation, hasn't it?" Everyone nodded in agreement. "What's with you?" Dion said to LP, laughing at her thoughts. "This is one hell of a way to celebrate a midlife crisis." The tension broke slightly with nervous laughter. It didn't last long, and Atman chimed in. "Here's the question I've got. If Sylvie Hunter is able to broadcast specific frequencies using something like Gaia, who's to say she's not receiving endless frequencies as well, making her one of the most connected people on the planet?"
"I have no doubt that's exactly what she's doing," Case confirmed.
"So does this mean what I think it means?" Faith asked. "We're in a safe space, so we can talk about it right now. But as soon as we're outside the studio, we have to assume that Sylvie or Gaia or both are listening to us," Case cautioned. "It would be better to assume that it's both of them and that they will know our every move."
"That's pretty fucking creepy," Dion said. "But then, every spy agency and major tech company has been collecting endless amounts of useless information about our activities for many years, with things like Google Home, Alexa, online browsing, analytics, the Internet of Things, cell phone use, streaming services, and much, much more. All just to sell us more shit we don't need."
"Nailed it," Atman said with a wink. "We're all just digital slaves. A little analog living would go a long way this day and age." LP burst out laughing. "Dude, you sound like you're 100 years old.
"Ha, ha," Atman retorted. "But you all know I'm right."
"So, we should all get out our pens and papers, or maybe carry typewriters around with us?" Faith asked.
"Not at all," Case said. "We just have to agree to meet here frequently on a set schedule without our devices, and not to speak about what we're up to when we leave the studio."
"Exactly," LP agreed. "They'll always be 2 steps ahead of us, so we just need to plan ways to stay 2 steps behind," he said,
alluding to the idea that everyone in the universe had been convinced that digital is much better than analog, and that those who stick to analog are behind the times. A starting point would be to devise a way to send false signals and to create a way to arrange for meetings when we do use our digital gear. They spent the rest of the night on their analog communication strategy, literally putting pens to paper to work out the details.